one more thing that you forgot to bring up that you wanted to remember to bring up is in the crypt in the Capitol building that there's someone buried in George Washington's tomb. And, of course, as you well know, George Washington is laid to rest because of his last will and testament that he's laid to rest at Mount Vernon.
Yes.
So his real body is really at Mount Vernon. Okay?
Right.
But there is a body buried in the crypt in the Capitol in George Washington's hole.
Is he supposed to be there? Why is there a crypt in Washington if he's known to be buried in Mount Vernon?
No. But they built the Capitol, the crypt under the rotunda.
Mm-hmm.
They made a space for George Washington to be buried.
Okay.
And his last will did not permit it.
Right, so he wasn't buried there.
Someone else was.
Well, the public was not told that George did not want to be buried there?
Yes, they were. It was very clear. And his body can be viewed, or his crypt can be viewed.
No, it's very clear that he did not get buried at the crypt. He got buried in Mount Vernon. That's common knowledge back then, right?
All the way through, yes.
Right. So then the crypt never would be used, correct? The one
correct.
In Washington would never be used because Washington denied it.
Correct.
You're saying it did get used.
It did get used, and there are remains in that crypt, and they will... some reason come to a place to uncover that, and it will be quite a surprise.
Of who, they'll be able to identify whose remains it is.
DNA tells all.
Okay. So, I think we did that with Ion. The vibrations coming out of Washington, the generator is in the Smithsonian, but it covers all of Washington, right? That. It's in the sub-basement of the Smithsonian.
But the substrata that was all done through that, from the vibrational coefficient.
Right, and this fact, which could be very controversial, and you would think get in trouble if one knew this.
No,
hold it. It's not a relevant fact, because if we knew it and we broadcast it, then it would go to the Supreme Court or the White House, and the White House would determine whether there was any truth to this. And what the White House said about it would apply. That's why they're the final judgment of any fact. And if we put this out, we would just be fodder for Jay Leno and maybe some conspiracy websites think we're great, that we revealed a big secret. All this noise would go on around this point about the Smithsonian sublevel, okay? But it does not have any reality unless the White House engages it and makes a statement. And what its statement will be is the facts. That's why we can discuss all these things, and they don't mean anything because they don't affect the reality of the Android meme.
Correct.
Which is only an issue when the White House deals with it. Or you could say the executive, the legislature, and the judicial.
Judicial.
What's those three things called? The government of the United States?
Yes.
Yeah.
The government is built on three parts.
Right. So that's what the Android meme is.
They left the people out of it.
Yes, right. The word makes the market, and the word is what the U.S. government says. That is the controlling word of the Android meme.
Yes.
It can be the White House in one case. It can be the Supreme Court. It can be the Congress. You know what I mean? That is the nexus of present-day power. And
we like that word. What does it mean?
Nexus? It's sort of like a fulcrum, or it's like tactility. It's the place where they come together, and it's like a mold.
So a nexus would then set the parameters of the confines of the topical applications of words that are being tweeted?
Yes.
So if that's true, which we'll take it, we'll go with it. If that's true, then one could absolutely engage what you call a conspiracy theory and implement it to such a degree that they would subversively be forced to share or expose or disprove the conspiracy. Or the other choice is to say, nah, that's a bunch of foolishness. Mm-hmm. Who in the world's going to buy that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, nobody's going to pluck the feathers off of a bald bald eagle to see if he really is a bird underneath his feathers.
Mm.
Correct?
Right.
Okay. Then you come into the new dynamic of coming to the rationale of the belief system. What you're asking and the point that you're making and the point that's valid is that you can, you individually, Bob, you can bring up topically enough information that answers will be questioned to such a degree that means could be established. Well, we have an example. You're going to like this. Where did the American flag come from?
Betsy Ross.
No, she most certainly did not. There's no empirical evidence or proof that that's the case.
Okay, but the story is she sold it, right?
Nobody knows.
Oh, okay. But
that's the point.
Well, how come I associate her name with it?
Well, she was a flag seamstress, but the U.S. was the only country in the living world that had a flag for its country.
Okay.
And that wasn't in 1776.
When was it?
Well, it was in the 1830s.
Okay. So this flag, what's your point about the flag?
Betsy Ross was way before that.
Okay, so we don't know where the flag came from.
No one does. Even your historians don't.
But in my expanded view of history now, I have a suspicion anything mysteries like that come from the parallel world.
That's fair. That's
yeah.
fair. So if you attach a meme to that process...
A meme to the what process? And we talk a whole bunch of things here.
A meme to the any process of where the flag came from parallel worlds, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then you introduce that into society. Well, then the human creator gets a hold of it, and they get to embrace it, or they get to have contrast regarding it.
Yeah.
And then they start looking for a reason. Well, then the reasoning starts showing up. Then they start showing up, they get more questions than they got answers. Then they're going like, well, there must be something to this. Excuse me. There's something to this. So much so that you get an Area 51 that there's no way in the world they could pack all the things in Area 51 that individual human creators believe that's being housed there.
Mm.
Well, guess what? It starts taking a life of its own then.
Yeah.
And becomes, even the things that aren't, are.
Mm.
From the application of a that's why we ask you about the nexus. We like that word. It's a very good word. Because that's the fodder by which creation gets to be thought.
Right. The nexus is another way of describing the labyrinth of the mind and its rulemaking. The Android meme.
On the Android meme parallel, yes.
Yeah, the Android meme, legislative, executive, and the judicial parts that make up the United States government, is the rulemaking, and it's an extension or a metaphor of what goes on in each individual mind. The rulemaking part of the mind.
Yes, and we're not great lovers of that process, obviously, because
no.
The rules are what cross you up with you.
Right, but that's what
okay,
we do, and that's so the nexus, the Android, the word makes the market, it equals Android meme equals nexus, is what you're trying to say. Another word for Android meme is nexus, right? The nexus.
Yes. Is your plastic box going?
Yeah.
We would love to know what you think your plastic box says nexus means.
Right, and...
since we're over time anyway, you're still within your window because
right.
We had business to do first, so you're not breaking any rules.
No. Okay, so nexus, you... doesn't matter which dictionary?
Then we don't care. You'll pick the right one despite yourself.
Well, I like Wikipedia.
Okay.
Nexus, Latin for connection or center, or connection, comma, center, may refer to the final novel in the Rosie Crucifixion trilogy by Henry Miller, a comic book, a location in Charm.
Good.
All kinds of bands use it. It's a song, an album, organizations, Nexus International Broadcasting Association.
Maybe something a little more focused, Bob. Maybe stray from your Wikipedia.
Yeah, because it's not, well, we got the definition, center or connection. Connection
well,
or center, there Latin.
There might be a little more.
So what's that other one? The
Noah Webster. The,
oh, yeah.
Not Webster. Honey does this all day, every day.
It's all right. I got one. The one I always do. I just put the word definition in. And it says, a means of connection, a link or tie.
There you go. The tie that binds. Good.
Yeah, yeah. A connected series or group, the core or center. So you like the tying aspect of it.
That's correct.
And my definition of tactility is, it's not a sense, but it interrelates, interplays the sensory data. So tactility is a meaning of that
tactility,
ties together.
Yes, and tactility can be an applicable condition.
Yeah, Nexus means tactility. The connection to the center, the thing that holds consciousness's data together. Tactility was not a sense. It was the interplay of the senses. And the interplay of the senses created a sense of coherent consciousness.
It was how you weighed the consequences.
Right. And that process was what McLuhan was referring to with tactility.
And what James Joyce couldn't do within the wake.
Yeah. Even though he had a good understanding of all the factors involved.
So much so that he confused himself.
Right. He didn't know what McLuhan knew, which was you can't visualize tactility. It can't be visualized. He tried to visualize it in written form.
Very good.
But he came pretty close to it. If you understand what he's trying, thanks to Marshall, what he was trying to get at, then it makes sense. And he succeeded. But
that's correct. I'll tell you another one that got pretty close to the whole, the larger dynamic of what we're talking about in conversation was Dr. Peter Beter.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think about him, how you say that he was going to take over the world. One didn't get that. He really took on Rockefeller. We didn't get from him that he was going to provide, that he would take over from it. I thought he was just trying to expose and topple Rockefeller, but you've implied that he was trying to become the new Nexus.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And kept his ideas to himself enough until they were fully developed that he almost succeeded.
Right. So he had a team working with him, right? He couldn't have been just by himself.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Himself. How is he going to trust someone else?
Well, isn't it interesting that the Queen...
Did he trust Walter? No.
Who's Walter?
Who is the friend that James keeps trying to...
Yeah, no. He didn't know... Beter and Walter didn't know of each other.
Oh, I understand, but run it backward, take time out of it, and all of a sudden...
Yeah, here's an interesting thing, is that I played a tape of Beter to Walter as we drove down to Portland, Oregon in 1982, and Walter fell asleep. We almost had a car accident. So I always thought that the two of them didn't resonate well. Because he wasn't interested, or it drove him to sleep. It affected him. Anyways, what is that indicative of something? See, Walter didn't agree with... Walter didn't like... He had problems with McLuhan, LaRouche, and Beter, and maybe all my sources that I talked about, he didn't like. He basically didn't like what I offered.
Yes.
And Walter had a problem with a lot of it, though he knew that it was close, but he was determined to be the originator. The what?
End all.
The end all of it all. The great synthesis or contributor of it all. And so he would correct everybody else. Let's go back to, you brought up Beter as a good, he understood the role of the Android meme or of Nexus or of tactility, what were you saying?
Well the only downfall of why he wasn't successful was that he couldn't even trust himself, let alone any other human creator. So the clear and present help that was being provided, he couldn't engage because they could be doing the same thing he was trying to do with the Rockefeller world.
Right, but you're saying, like Joyce, he came close to what?
To taking over the world.
Did Joyce do that?
No.
No, but you see, what is the common denominator between Joyce? You see, we're talking about Joyce and how he personally didn't get what he was doing, but he created something that did show it. And he
correct. Well, but nobody understands it. I mean, there's
nobody right.
on the planet that even have a clue. He didn't even have a clue. Well, Peter Beter did. He had a good conceptual view.
Of what?
Of what he was trying to accomplish.
Yeah, nothing to do with Finney's Wake or Joyce.
Right.
You were saying that he was pretty smart guy or pretty successful or pretty...
He was in line to do what he set out to do.
Yeah.
Which was engage a degree of consuming or stockpiling gold to such a level that he would be a clear and present radical approach to a dichotomy of economy.
Right, but he didn't have access to parallel worlds or have that kind of assistance, I'm assuming.
Well, if he did, we're not saying he didn't.
Yeah.
If he did, he would never trust it. You see, that was his issue.
Right.
He had everything, and he didn't trust even himself.
But that's where the tragic flaw, that's talent, has a disservice. And he knew to distrust the information all around him so he could really see what was going on. But
exactly.
And
it made it very clear
what was going on, and yet he didn't. That variability then made him vulnerable because he couldn't trust anybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so he was talented. All right. In the May 24th session, session 41, Ion points out to Carol and I that there's only one Guff.
Yes.
Many months later, I remember, recently, Ion saying... That was a big revelation. There were more than one Guff.
No. Now wait. Now let's clean that up.
Yeah. Do you remember kind of saying something like that?
Yes. Your question was, if there are parallel worlds and if there's duality in parallel worlds, where do those souls go? Which Guff do they go to?
Yeah. This is 6 months ago.
You remember, we made reference that there were. There's just one Guff, but it has...
Streams,
yeah. But it's still... It's together, but it's not.
Yeah, there are parallel worlds go into the same Guff, but through different streams, in and out.
And the same consciousness doesn't necessarily mix and mingle, however they do. Okay.
What is the same consciousness? What are you referring to with the phrase?
Degrees of, let's parallel it to your ocean.
No, okay. We called a lake in the session May 24th. But this word same consciousness refer to? What's the safe, the Guff is same consciousness?
Yes, but it's variegated. For example, you have world 437.
Right, okay? Yeah.
And folks transition from world 437.
Right.
There's a stream that goes to the one and only Guff.
Right.
But the salination, or the degree of saltiness from that stream, affects all of the Guff, but not all the Guff all at once.
Okay.
For example, you could have saltier parts and less salty parts.
Right.
And they have currents within the stream. Within the stream of your ocean or your lake.
In the Guff.
Correct.
Yeah.
And let's do it this way. Let's add a color dynamic just to make it really easy for you. Let's say world 437, everybody that came into the Guff from world 437 in that stream, all those were pigeon blood red.
We could actually, our whole movie, remember we have the idea of putting things different streams, we could be in the end showing the Guff.
Certainly. Yeah. And then you have, and now that if you had enough of that red running into the Guff, the whole thing would turn red, would it not?
Yeah.
But it's not that way, you see.
Right.
You also have a blue one and a magenta one and a purple one.
A thousand worlds, and there's streams.
Multi-thousands of worlds. So there's no one place where all of that matriculation sets the meme for all of the guff. They almost kind of like become splotches of color,
right,
splashes of color within the gulf. And if you do it that way, then all of a sudden, yes, they are commingled. Yes, there is but one, but you'll find that many of those colors sort of vacillate to themselves from where they apply to the stream of where they're coming into the whole of the gulf. So it would give the appearance from a physical creator that it would be many guffs or lots of guffs, just like you have multi oceans and you just have one on your planet.
Yeah.
But you have different oceans, the Indian Ocean, the Atlantic, and the Pacific. But they're really, really, really just one.
Right.
Okay. Okay. But yet that those oceans are identified as separate, but they're really not. I mean, because they're actually kind of connected. There's not one that's divided out besides the Adriatic or the Mediterranean, and that's more of a sea rather than an ocean.
Okay, so I understand that. So when
that's like the Gulf.
I got that. Yeah. So here, when you said there were many Gulfs a month ago, you were talking at another level of perception that the human creator might experience.
So you can understand it, because otherwise you'd blow a guess.
Yeah, it's like when you give a fact or a statement about something, there's a nexus or context for it, and often you don't get to say the context.
That is correct, until later.
Until later when I come up with a question, and then I say, hey, you said there was one, but then you said later there's two or more, then you clarify.
Yes.
Right. So you actually plant the contradiction in there for me to notice at some point, so that you could clarify it.
Very good.
Because then I have the question.
Right. Very good.
So
and when you get it from that dynamic, you get it eternally. Once you know it, once you get it, you could never, ever, ever unget it.
Yeah, I have a note here. I uncommented on Bob in that 40 or 41 and said, Bob has this world system thing, this concern about the world system thing. So I think you meant my looking at the whole world and the different thinkers, including Beter, how I would look at the whole globe and the world system, right? I think
you consider, we'll clean that up. You consider the android meme and their bastard babies as creators or co-conspirators in whatever creation that meme is dealing with at that present moment. So, in that world, each dynamic of the world takes on part of the whole.
Yeah, it's
as far as memeability.
That's right, and that's another application of nexus. I'm always looking at the nexus, the world system. And you could say he's a big thinker. I'm looking at the big picture would be slang ways of talking about it. So you refer to that.
He was a lame duck, but he certainly was a big quacker.
So the that would be like Ed McMahon or somebody, you know, or Mel, the guy who took over from Mike Douglas. Oh, I might check that. But anyways, I have this. You said Bob thinks in big system terms, world system terms. And then you say...
Within the minutest detail.
In the minutest detail, and then you...
Within the minutest detail.
Yeah, and then you say where you can be king of the world. And I may not have exactly the way you say it in the tape, but you juxtapose world system and Bob's concern of that. And then how looking at who could be king of the world... That's actually what we're looking, and my Beter and I resonate is that I'm trying to take over the world, or putting it on, or thinking about how it would be done. But I think so well about it, I've actually pulled off the way to do it, and that's why millions are going to be offered to me to sell Ion to them, so they can have the king of the world, right?
Perfect.
And so I just have a note. You can be king of the world. I think I made a note because just that's what we've been entertaining and discussing all the kings of the world. Right. I think that's it. We look at Henry VIII. I think the reason I made a note of this is the word, I just don't want to take time to draw up the actual, well, maybe I should. No. We can do it again. But what I get from it is that I think in world systems, and we are looking at history, at all the different kings of the world, the pharaohs, the King Johns, the Henry VIII, the Pope, you know what I mean?
James the First.
And so we could say that so far Ion has been giving lots of information resonating with Bob's interests that he brought to Ion already, right? Already had.
Certainly.
And someone else would not create any of these facts we've come up with, because they wouldn't be looking at those things.
Well, they wouldn't care, and then they might bring topical things up that go even beyond it.
That's right. I'm not pointing it down. I'm just saying that the whole King of the World stuff. So our movie might be about King of the World, and the King of the World would be the Guff, because all these streams, wouldn't it be neat that the movie in the end is a picture of the Guff, because we're going to show all of history and all the creations, and that comes out of the Guff, so that would be...
Okay, what if you did it like this, you know, who's the bald-headed guy?
Yul Brynner,
that instead of being the king and I, it could be the king is I.
That is the message of Ion.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to show all these different kings, you know, in history and how they...
Dynamics and how it came about.
Oh, yeah, that's... Oh, that reminds me. The other aspect, to be king of the world, it helped to have access to the parallel worlds.
That's the
reason I made that note. To be king of the world, we learn the assistance, the use, the advantage you get by interacting with the parallel worlds and bringing stuff over or taking stuff back and forth, right? That's what we're showing in the movie, a larger dynamic of power.
Yes. Are you going to play with the Tigris and Euphrates?
That is the Adam that we end up with, right?
Yes.
Well, that would be a nexus.
Okay. It'd be one. All right. Now, are you going to deal with? We're asking because you're the creator, but we're also leading the witness a little bit. Could then you have the elders in Shangri-La going over the process of how they're doing? Talking about your human creators now.
They would be the committee, right? We were going to.
What you call the Nicene part, yeah, of the trilogy process, and have great fun with the play, the interplay with creation and the things that fall and the things that get redone, and that whole process would be great fun, because it would almost make it silly when you look at the dynamic of how humans spend all their time worrying about time that there's not any of.
Yeah.
And if they could get beyond that, then all of a sudden they'd realize that, you know, time is matterless.
Yeah, it's like the old image of the guy with his glasses on his head, propped on his head, and he's running around. He has to give an important report, and he needs his glasses, and he can't find them, and he stirs up everybody to find the glasses. And the people don't even know, well, a couple might notice, the artists, the different anti-environmental people might notice the glasses on his head, but no one listens to them. But basically he panics everybody, and everybody's running around looking for the glasses, and it was in the last place they looked. It was on his head. That's the way time is. Everybody's running around arguing and looking for something that is obviously there, and in this case, obviously not an issue. The guy running around getting everybody worked up about looking for his glasses, nobody knows they're right there on his head, right?
Correct.
That's the time issue. That's an example. That's how we run around about time. We're all worked up about time.
Very wonderful.
So Mike Douglas was born August 11th, 1925. He passed transition August 11th, 2006.
Yes.
And he was diagnosed with prostate cancer in 1990. So he went up, but after surgery, he was cancer-free. He died on his 81st birthday at a Palm Beach Gardens hospital in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Though the cause of death has not yet been disclosed, Douglas's wife, Genevieve Eve, tells the Associated Press that he became dehydrated on the golf course a few weeks previously and had been treated for that off and on since. He was coming along fine, she says. We never anticipated this to happen. He was survived by his widow. Okay, so his achievements, they made a documentary of him in 2007. He wrote two memoirs. And his show, one of his memoirs is, I'll be right back, Memories of TV's Greatest Talk Show. He's claiming it was the greatest talk show. He wrote a cookbook, but let's just see, in 82, the show went until 1982, just for your, it only lasted till 1982. It started, you know, in 67 or so.
Right, but only lasted 20 years?
15 years.
Okay, only lasted?
Yeah, only 15 years. It started before 67.
Right.
1965. Okay, so.
20 years?
Almost 17 years. Yeah. So that's a good run. And he says it was the greatest talk show. And anyway, so that's what happened to him. I know he had Zap on there. You got to be a good guy if you have Zap on.
For sure.
So yeah, he probably was a little more looser in who he had.
He was the only game in town.
Okay, so we've done You Can Be King of the World, that theme, There's Only One Guff. Okay, that's it. We are complete.
How very wonderful. We are as well.
And we'll return to play again. You see any scripture on the walls tonight, JW?
No. I see the scripture on the Liberty Bell. Leviticus.
Is that on there?
Yes.
It's quoted on the bell. Hmm.
Yes.
Okay, so any comments on what you've seen or what you want to say?
Look up scripture. It has to do with liberty. It's Leviticus 6. Or just put scripture on the Liberty Bell.
Scripture on Liberty Bell.
Leviticus.
There are many fascinating historical accounts surrounding Philadelphia's State House Bell, the beloved symbol of freedom that came to be known as the Liberty Bell. So that's where it is, right? And and then we see if there's Leviticus. 50 years later, Speaker Isaac Norris promoted a particular inscription for the commemorative State House Bell. Ironically, the inscription is one that those who today downplay the role of God and religion in our nation's birth will be chagrined to acknowledge as a Bible verse. Leviticus 25:10, proclaim liberty throughout all the land and unto all the inhabitants thereof. An examination of the text surrounding this verse reveals God's instructions to Moses that the Israelites honor their 50th year in the Promised Land as a year of Jubilee, a year to celebrate God's blessings. So Moses passed that on?
He did.
Right. So you have this quote in mind. And what do you realize about that?
Don't know. It's just the quote on the Liberty Bell.
Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all inhabitants thereof. You know, Isaac Norris, the last name Norris, came up in reference to a controversial subject we talked about way back. I wonder if that Norris that was around in Barry Goldwater's campaign, if he was descended from Speaker Norris. They were they were a family, an influential family, or he had the sense of protecting things because he came from an important family. Does that provide anything there?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are families, Americans, who sort of feel like they're the guardians of America because their history goes back so far in the country.
Of course.
And they had important people in their history in the government. So that may be the legacy of Isaac Norris. That's the speaker. This is 50 years... When is the date of this? 50 years later. Began, the bell began 1751. 1751. So around 1801 is when Norris came up with the Leviticus quote. Does that sound accurate?
Sure.
Okay, so anyways, anything else you want to talk about, JW?
Nope, that's about as far as we know. It's great fun. Lots of pictures. It's pretty good run, Bob.
Right, and what? Can you name a picture or two you saw?
An iron lung.
Mm-hmm.
Assassination attempt.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming. Things will be showing up.
In our life or in the news, do you mean?
Yes, both.
Yeah. Oh, and...
How we go.
I should have asked Ion who Frank was. Forgot to ask.
It'll come.
Not to make a big issue out of it.
But it'll come. It'll show up. And good. All right, I guess we're good. Are you good?
Yeah, the session went 2 hours and 12 minutes, so just 12 minutes over, so we're okay.
Good. Very good. Well, what great fun. We will play later.
Oh, yeah, tomorrow evening I may at 5:30, so I may not have a session tomorrow since we're following the 6 to 8 thing.
Well, let's see how you go. If you feel good and just want to be later, we don't have a problem with that. It'll be all right.
Right.
We're not bound. It's just great fun to make a little synchronicity that makes it work out.
Right. Okay, we'll see what happens.
If you get started earlier and want to do earlier, that's okay too sometimes. Just whatever's easy.
Okay, so what do you have to do tomorrow? Anything in public?
What is tomorrow?
Monday.